What's good, ladies and gentlemen? Hey, thank you for hitting that play button for another episode of the Hetty Coleman Podcast, where I sit down with fabulous people for them to be able to share their story, because three things happens when people share their story. We learn from them, we are inspired by them, and we connect. And out of that connection, I believe community happens. And I love to say that community wins. Not only do I say go win, I say that community wins. When people start connecting, inspiring one another, and learning from one another, there is a greater opportunity for us to win. And so today, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sitting down with my friend, Gregory Jerome. And Gregory, we go back, we tell stories day. Is that where we originally connected?
Yeah, absolutely, man. What's that, 2010, 2011, somewhere around?
Yeah, man. You came on the scene. We tell stories was already a very creative vibe, right? Artists and things like that. But I feel like you came on the scene with even more energy around just being creative in the music that you were presenting with the live band, which reminded me of one of my favorite groups, which is The Roots. And so, and you are now in Philly, man. And I want to believe that's where I connect The Roots to, is Philly.
Right. Yeah. Philly all day. Matter of fact, I'm right around the corner from the legendary Milk Boys recording studio where they started. I'm like four blocks away from that. And actually, I've been in there a couple of times already.
Nice. So what I want us to do is just go ahead and let you start sharing your story about who you are and kind of work your way up into where you're at now. And we'll kind of continue to dive into our conversation from there.
All right, great. So Gregory Jerome, I'm originally from Oklahoma City. My family relocated when I was a toddler, basically, to a place called Texarkana. But the roots, actually, you know, of Oklahoma, my family is all in Oklahoma City. We're from the Park Estates area in Oklahoma City. That's where all my family's at. That's where I was at as a kid before going down to Texarkana, Texas, then eventually Arkansas, making my way through Kansas, Miami, Oklahoma for college, then eventually going to Murfreesboro, Tennessee, to MTSU for music. Been in the Nashville music scene for a lot. Then went back to Oklahoma, relocated, was able to do some things as an artist after doing touring in Nashville for 6 years for artists like The Roots, opening up for John Legend, Chrisette Michelle, even doing some Deaf Poetry Jam with like the poet Red. So it's like, you know, I've been able to have this wide experience of entertainment world. But once I returned back to Oklahoma City back in 2010, actually was due to, you know, a family issue that I had to come back and provide some moral support for my mother. Because she was there by herself. So I came back, gave up the music career pretty much, and started all over again with trying to identify, like, who am I, what am I going to do? And that's when you met me, right? When I came in with the blackface mask. You remember that?
Yeah.
You were like, yo, like, really? Like, but you liked it. You was like, it's different, but I like it.
I think that was
the most creative part that I've ever done before, because I've never worn a mask when I, you know, perform. But even jumping to the music scene like that, being able to connect with the community is something that I've always been a part of. You know, that's even in Nashville, me performing with mass choirs, 70 member mass choirs for fundraisers to help people in the community, doing community events in Tennessee. But then to be able to do the same thing, to mirror that in Oklahoma City, was the thing that I was coming back for, right? It's because my mission for me was this. As a kid, I wasn't raised in Oklahoma. So I never felt like I was in my place when I was growing up in Texas. Like, I never felt like I was at home. I always felt like I was out of place. People had relatives that they could go see and hang out with and all of that. And people that grew up with, like, they had that. I didn't have it. So I always felt like an outsider, like an outcast, right? But I always tried to be creative to fit in or to stand out, either way you want to look at it. So being able to come back to Oklahoma City was a dream of mine, because I wanted to do something for Oklahoma City, because that's my home. Like, it was always in the back of my mind as an artist, like, yo, I want to go back and be a positive poster child for Oklahoma and represent something great for Oklahoma and even for, you know, the Black culture. So I always wanted to do something like for Oklahoma, and I had the opportunity to when I relocated to Oklahoma back in 2010, get in the music scene, eventually start getting into more of the social developer aspect of it as well, of community engagement, working for some nonprofits, doing community work. I eventually started doing things for the arts community. I got into the arts community, didn't know anybody in it, and there wasn't a lot of people that looked like me in the arts community. So I was able to really navigate the arts community in the sense of, you know, arts education, developing creative programs for after school, for K through 12th graders. I had the opportunity to perform at different levels for recording artists when they came through touring in Oklahoma City. There was opportunities for me when I was able to even create a hip hop festival in Oklahoma, the inaugural.
Yeah.
Like, so a lot of these things that I was doing, it wasn't solely for myself, but it was actually for the culture. And how could I expand the culture and provide opportunities for the masses versus just myself? Even though I was the face of it, you know, all the sacrifices that I made, no matter what it was for the people, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, for me, you know, the music thing was, and community was my thing, but on the back end to help, you know, support that, I was working in retail. So I've always been into fashion as a kid. Came from a family, didn't have a lot of means to keep up with the Joneses, the latest trends in fashion of my peers. So what I had to do is like utilize what I had in my closet to actually create a new image for myself to stand out from everybody else. People started loving my style. I kept rolling with it, started educating myself, working for different companies, places from Wilson's Leather, JCPenney's, Dillard's, Nike, Coach, like all these places to educate myself in this world versus trying to go to school for it, right? So I was able to do that, and gradually, you know, I took myself through it, went out to Los Angeles back in 2017, I believe, and started, you know, going for the goal. My time was up in Oklahoma. The season was done. The 6 years I was there, I was able to accomplish a lot of things with the help of the community. A lot of individuals helped me out. So it wasn't just myself. It was a team of people that seen the vision that I had, right? So now me in LA, I'm in a new city again. This is like an ongoing thing for my life. It's like being in these new cities, right? So went to Los Angeles, was chasing a dream. Some life things happened, transformed me, got depressed. I went through a stage of, I fell into a trapdoor of depression. And it really weighed on me mentally, physically, spiritually, and emotionally, right? So I had to reground myself, become more spiritually connected to who I am and what my purpose is. And what do I do that? What tools am I using to do that? So there was meditation, that was me studying metaphysics, that was prayer, that was reading the Bible, that was me on this like soul journey, brother, like a soul, true soul journey of finding myself. So when I was in LA, I ended up working for a company called Joseph A. Bank suit store, right? So I was working for this store, was doing great. It was out in El Segundo. I left my wallet in El Segundo, right? So I was working with this company, man. And there was a point where I got into a motorcycle wreck. So I was in a motorcycle wreck. A car pulled down in front of me. I T-boned the car, head first into the windshield, catapulted in the air about 20 yards. Then I rolled across the pavement for about another 30 yards. I end up actually being knocked unconscious. But when I rolled or tumbled across the pavement, I actually came to consciousness on my knees as I was praying to God, right? And I stood up and I walked away from it. Ended up with a fractured elbow and, you know, a post-concussion syndrome. So I went through all of this rehab during this, right? So this actually transcended into me being homeless due to not having enough money to pay for my living expenses. So at this point, I cut my rehabilitation off so I could use the money that I was getting for temporary disability to travel the world, or basically the United States, visiting friends, to couch surf and to look for a new beginning, right? So I visited multiple places, New Orleans, Dallas, New York, like all these places. I ended up being in Philadelphia, and back in 2005, I did a tour in Philadelphia, and I performed at the World Cafe and Time Restaurant. So I was familiar with Philly, but it's been so long since I was here. So when I came here, you know, as this time, I was asking God, like, where should I be? Where do I need to be? Like, show me where I need to be. During this whole time of traveling around, and Philadelphia spoke to me, and this was it. So I came here. When that came to me, I had like 3 days before I had to leave to go back to Los Angeles, right? So two days prior for me leaving, I just got up one Sunday morning before church, and I just started looking at all these different places that I wanted to work, and I just started submitting resumes and applications, online applications, and just going. And then Monday morning, I just started picking up the phone and start calling people. And I ended up getting a couple of phone interviews. I had two in-person interviews. One of the places that I found Sunday when I was searching was a place called Henry Davidson, which is a custom clothier store. So everything custom, from jeans to jackets to pants to suits to whatever you need, scarves, gloves, ties, whatever, everything custom. I'd never been in that world before, and that's something that I wanted to do. So I prayed on it. So that Monday, they actually called me for an interview. So I went in for the interview, had a conversation, went back to LA, like on a Tuesday, I think. Tuesday, went back. A week later, they gave me a call, had a couple of phone interviews on the phone. And then they flew me out from Los Angeles to Philadelphia for an in-person interview with the owner. Did that, flew back to Los Angeles. They end up giving me the job, send me an offer letter. A week later, I'm in Philadelphia. Now, during this time, I'm still homeless. During this whole time, I'm still homeless. I'm living in Airbnbs. I'm living in friends' cars. I'm living like on friends' sofas. You know, luckily there were some people in, you know, LA that were from Oklahoma City that I could go crash, right? Because I knew them, we performed together, etc. So I get to Philadelphia, still homeless. I'm living in Airbnbs, right? This whole time while I'm working, trying to get everything, you know, stable, create this foundation, trying to find my way in a new city with not knowing a soul, right? So, you know, here I am. I end up, you know, coming here in November 2019, 4 months in, COVID hits, now I'm on PPP, and ultimately end up doing a transition from my workplace, because the place I was working for, I was working with affluent clients that were spending anywhere from $2,000 to $4,000 on clothes. Not the case anymore. So how am I gonna make a living? So, you know, just going through this trial, you know, unemployment is not really kicking in for me. You know, I was like, what am I doing? So now I've just launched my own company as an image consultant. So it's now Gregory Jerome Image Consulting. And that came as a blessing in disguise. So, you know, with that being said, I was able to actually, you know, this is what happened here recently, back in December of 2020. There was a hackathon for entrepreneurs that was hosted by Thomas Jefferson University, Jefferson Health, in the city of Philadelphia, to help emerging present entrepreneurs of color in Philadelphia. And I happened to see it on my LinkedIn page maybe 2 days before the deadline, right? 2 days before the deadline. I get the questionnaire, 17 questions. It's all about, you know, your business proposal, everything laid out. And I had none of that at all, had none of it. So there was 2 days left before it was time to submit, deadline submission. The night before, I had spent all my time writing everything out, researching this, crunching numbers, understanding like strategies for marketing and demographics, like all of this information. What is the mission? What is the vision? Like all of this information that they wanted. End up doing it. I apply for it. When I apply for it, Hetty, it was the wrong application that I filled out. And I was like, no, this is not it. So it was like it was midnight, right? And this is due 10 a.m. the next morning. So at midnight, like I'm emailing the email for support. So they end up sending me the right application to fill out. So I fill it out. It was due at 10 o'clock. I submitted it at 10 o'clock. Got it in, right? Later that day, they went through all applications. Next day, they hit me up. I came a finalist. Then, after being a finalist, I then had to do a presentation virtually with judges, right?
Yeah.
So, ultimately, gave my presentation. I was a runner-up, gave me a cash prize and a laptop by Dell. And now my business is official. All the paperwork is done, and now I'm in business. And now I'm working with about 5 or 6 clients, man.
Bro, that is all amazing. Yeah, I didn't know that. No, that's a great story. I was like, I'm not even gonna cut him off because I'm like all into this thing, man. That's like a movie, you know.
It is, man. It is.
That's an incredible journey. And it's cool to be able to sit here with you now and look at you, and like, I would never have thought any of that had happened. And man, I guess out of that though, I just a couple of follow-ups. Man, one, I didn't know you went to NEO.
Yeah, and believe it or not, brother, I graduated from Edmond Santa Fe.
Yeah,
this is when it was probably only 6 black people in there, though.
Yeah, because you was in the early stage. It doesn't look like that anymore. And then Murfreesboro, I have family who live in Murfreesboro.
Oh, nice.
And so, yeah, I lived in Columbia, Tennessee.
Oh man, I got people in Columbia. I got a couple of friends in Columbia right now. Man,
yeah,
that's great, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, man. It's for sure, man. But I love Franklin though.
Franklin's a nice area, man. Franklin, yeah. You know, you got to go through Smyrna and all of that, you know, for you.
Yep.
All of that. But it's nice, man. People sleep on Nashville though. People sleep on Tennessee.
I always tell people like Nashville's the real deal, especially diversity wise. Like you think about the colleges that are in Tennessee State. What's the medical school?
Yep. You got TSU, man. You got Vanderbilt. You got like all these, man, it's everything out there.
Melting pot kind of place, melting for sure. Pot,
man. And this is the thing that people sleep on too, is the music industry in Nashville. People think it's just country. That's
no.
I got my introduction to like soul music, like R&B, like this was it.
Yeah, no, it's way more than just country music. I mean, in Christian music, like people think country and Christian, it's
my boy, Shannon Sanders. You familiar with him?
Gospel. No.
Yeah, you should check him out, man. Shannon Sanders.
Real deal.
Yeah. Good dude.
But man. it's really good, man. Bro, what did you learn from working in the different retail stores during your time of kind of bouncing around doing the retail? I know you mentioned Wilson's, JCPenney's, these different places. Like, what were a couple of takeaways that you are using now concerning your image consulting business?
One is quality customer service.
Yeah.
I always believed in taking care of the clients. Making sure you listen, like active listening is an important thing. Because when you do style analysis, you're trying to figure out, one, what messages are they trying to send? what image are they looking for? What is the lifestyle? What is the financial forecasting? Like all of this, like what they're looking for. And it's not only from an exterior, it's also interior, right? So how can I help them from the internal side of life, right? To help be exposed into like the external. So I would say the customer service, the active listening skills, one, staying in tune to like what brands and like what cuts and what fabrics, like those things are important.
Yeah, good. Another thing, just from your story, you sharing at the beginning, you're talking about being in the arts community and people not looking like you. You had never been a part of anything like that, I'm assuming, as far as going into this and being right. Specifically part of the arts community.
Right.
What did you do to begin to feel comfortable in that setting? What did that look like for you? For people who are going to go be a part of something that they've never been a part of before, what would you say to them as far as like learning how to be comfortable in those situations, those environments?
Well, I'll tell you this, and this is just complete transparency. When you are the only, or I won't say the only, if you're in a minority in any, you know, arena of anything, man, it's always a slight, like, not a burden, but it's a feeling that's unexplainable, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh man, I'm the only one here. Like, oh, this is like, it's not necessarily awkward, but it's just, it's not so comfortable, right?
Yeah.
But you become comfortable when you become more comfortable within yourself and who you are and what you represent and what your mission is, then nothing else matters.
Yeah.
Like, so being consistent in those environments sheds off that skin. Mm. Now you're going in and you owning it. Like, yeah, I'm different, but here, this is what I got for you. This is why I'm different.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, so then, in your,
then you start attracting people.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause you start recognizing once you're comfortable with yourself, like, oh, I can add value based on who I am.
Right.
Because you're going to see things different. So your perspective could be something that's missing in this whole scenario to add more flavor or whatever the case may be. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So yeah. So just really understanding who you are. Self-awareness is a big key to
number one, man. Number one. Yeah. I've worked in companies before where I was the only black person, brother.
Yeah.
Like, so it's it, man. It's part of, you know, the minority, man. That's the minority journey.
I like what you said too, though. Like, we're not only just talking about ethnicity here. You could be the minority in several different ways. You know, it could be gender. It could be I'm the only Christian, you know, in a Muslim setting or whatever.
Right.
You are the only one. But in that, just know who you are, be self-aware and be confident in who you are.
Exactly.
I like that.
Exactly.
So another thing that's fascinating about what you shared, and I wanted to know, you move into a place where you know no one. It's a little bit different than you going into an arts community that's within your community, right? Like, right. I go to this arts community, but when I leave out of this particular setting for the hour or two, I'm going back home and I know people. To go somewhere and be completely by yourself, like, what are some key things that you would say to help people make that trend? Because there's going to be people going to college, going off to college, or people moving for jobs and doing these different kind of transitions. What are some things that just based on your experience would you suggest to them?
Understanding the human capital, right? Being able to understand the value of people. But not only that, your own value. And when I say that is, how can you create value for other people? How can you connect with other people and bring value? How can you blend in with like-minded individuals? How can you seek out a network? And that's the main thing. It's like, you have to know how to network and navigate. You know, it's just like the streets. You know, I come from a street life, and you have to learn how to navigate to make things happen. You know, especially when you don't have the means of certain things, you have to figure out a way to make things happen. So when you go to, like, my experience of going to a new place for college, right, twice in my life, I had to start all over again to go to college, right? Yeah. So what I done was I just seeked out people who were like me.
Yeah.
Find your crew, like find your niche, find where you, yeah. It's like Cheers, right? Go to a place where everybody knows your name type of deal.
You're in Philly. What's Cheers in Philly?
Yeah, right. So it's like find your camp, find a village, find people who are doing the same things that you're doing and who want to elevate themselves as well. Not necessarily get into a place where it's just comfortable and you're staying stagnant, but how can you get into a place where you're comfortable that's going to elevate you, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes you got to search and seize. Like you got to look for it. If you don't look for it, if you don't talk to people, like you're not going to meet people. So it's like a closed mouth never get fed. So if you're not out here like doing a thing, like you're not going to make those connections. That's just like when you and I met. Like I didn't know you at all. I didn't even know about the whole thing, you know? But I just signed up and came through, right? This is how I'm gonna make my introduction. And that was what's funny is this. When I went to Middle Tennessee State University, which is at the time was the number one music school in the Mid-South, they put on an event. Matter of fact, it was I think it's the Kappas who put on an event. I went in and I didn't even do hip hop. It was a talent show that they did, right? I went in and did a poem over Music Soul Child Love, right? Uh-huh. Just like I did Blackface with you. I just did a poem instead of doing hip hop. And I dropped the microphone when I was done and I walked off the stage. And I didn't know, remember, I don't know anybody, right? I don't know nobody. I don't even know the host. Drop the mic and I'm out. You know, the host like, dang, man, why you drop, you know, gonna break the mic? You know, people laughing, blah, blah, blah. But the next day, I'm on the yard and people are approaching me like, hey, at the time I was, and even when you met, I was going by reality as an artist, right? That's uh-huh. That's where I came from. Nashville was a reality. So people were like, yo, you're reality. Yo, you was the dude who dropped the mic. That was fresh. Like, that was dope. And then it just started going from there. And then it just started spreading. Start doing more open mics, going to venues, music venues, meeting people there. Like, so it was just it's all about a web of network, right? But you have to understand what value do you bring to people, right? That's the first and foremost. Then it's like, where's the value of the people?
Got you. Yeah, I love that. How do I add value? And then how can I get value from the people that I'm placing myself around?
Right.
Or the people that are surrounding me. Yeah, right. That's really good, man. That's so good. All right, let's jump into you win this entrepreneur thing. You get it, you get the application in after doing the wrong application, right? You get in at 10. You now have your business, Image Consulting. Like, what is the mission? Where are you headed? And maybe talk about what you want to see for yourself over the next 3 to 6 months.
Great. Good question. So when I launched this thing, I put myself in a position of setting goals, KPIs, things I want to accomplish short term, long term.
What are KPIs for people who are listening?
I don't know what KPIs are. Let me just say. So it's like key performance goals, right?
Yeah.
So what I was looking for was to, one, how can I get into the corporation? How can I get into the corporate world of doing workshops, right? The other one was, how can I do webinars for universities, colleges of business and colleges of law? Then the other one is like, how can I get to do weddings, get more clients? So the things I've been able to accomplish already in 3 months was those things. I've done a major corporation webinar for PSE&G, which is like relevant to a Chesapeake in Oklahoma City. Like, I've done one for them. I'm doing one next week for Temple University, which is a prime university here in Philly. Like, everybody knows about Temple University. So I'm doing one for them, for their College of Business. I wanted to get more PR. There's Hetty. I'm getting on some visual work right now that I want to accomplish, right? I have a couple of TV interviews coming up. Actually, one of my clients made into one of the top luxury wedding magazines in the United States. So like all of these goals are actually being accomplished, but it was all about faith. But going forward, I'm just looking to continue to build this brand. Build this brand in the sense of who I am, because this industry is predominantly white women.
Mm.
So, and I'm not that. So that's a hill that I'm going up against, right? So how do I set myself apart? So those are my goals. How do I make a name for myself? That's me creating more content. That's me being more engaged with people. That's me creating more visuals for people. That's me networking with a plethora of people outside of my own community.
Yeah. So you mentioned that you got your first workshop, your first seminar with a company. Right. How did you get that? Like, can you tell me like, how did you make contact with them? And then when you made contact with them, what did you present to them? How did all of that work?
All right. So good question. So the way that happened is there's a lady named Cheryl Willington. She's actually in Philadelphia. She was just recognized as L'Oreal Women of the Year Award, right? Black lady. Phenomenal. She's an image consultant. She runs her own company, Evelar Image Consulting. Her and I have been in conversation via LinkedIn and phone calls. We kept like this open door of conversation. I ended up doing her a favor by getting her plugged with a PR representative for her like L'Oreal promotion thing that she was doing. In return, she contacted me to actually do a seminar with her company. So she was the plug.
Got you. So it was a relationship.
Relationships.
And what I think I hear from you is that you added value to her by helping her with the PR situation.
Right.
And then she turned around and brought you alongside and added value to you by giving you an opportunity to have a gig, right?
Right. Right.
Yeah. So now that you've had that opportunity, how do you leverage that into more opportunities, right? Because now you want to take that, and I'm sure you want to be able to say, hey, I've already done this.
Right.
Like, what does that look like to tell that story and get it out there?
Network and just tell people what you're doing. You know, you let people know about your accomplishments and your goals. You tell your story. Mm-hmm. So within that, when I tell people that today, when I'm meeting them, like when I'm at meetings with them, they're like, yeah, what are you doing? What have you done? And I tell them, they're like, oh, really? You've already done a webinar for PSE&G? Like, that's a big deal because that's a big company.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like for me to be a brand new entrepreneur and already to accomplish that goal. Like that's, if you ask me if anybody that tells me that in their first 3 months, they're doing corporate accounts already in 3 months. Oh, you must be on to something. What you doing? Who you know? how can I get down?
That's good. I like the way that you said you share your accomplishments, but then you also share your wins, like the wins that you want to achieve for yourself, your goals. Right. And I really like that combination of doing both. Like, yeah, I've accomplished these things, but now let me tell you where I'm trying to go. And I'm assuming in that you're around people or whatever, one who may can position you to help you achieve those wins, meaning that they may give you more work like this lady did.
Right.
But then also maybe there are people that could be potential clients and they get to see the vision and want to come and be a part of that vision by giving you the opportunity to come and do a webinar for them or whatever.
Yeah. And that's how it's happened. From the content I placed on LinkedIn, you know, I got a couple of things coming up on television. I won't speak on those right now, but some things are coming up on some major stations. So it's like people hear your story. They see how you engage with community. They see how you're engaged with people. They look at the posts of, you know, individuals that respond to your posts, like their comments and how it impacts them and uplifts them. Because it's for me and the company, Like, we aim to actually uplift, empower, and educate clients. You know, and that's what you know, this company is about. The brand is about. It's about empowering people. We believe in transforming lives one style at a time, no matter what level you are at, right? Because it's important. It's a transition. It's a transformation. And so how can we transform ourselves, right? Sometimes you have to do the fake it till you make it type thing. But it's not a fake it if you put on the clothes that make you feel good. Like, yo, I feel good. You put on, you know, a nice suit and it's tailored nice. You walk different. You talk different. You know?
Yeah.
You put on some nice upscale luxury casual clothes. You still feel cool. You still, like, you got this swag about yourself, right? Yeah. So how do you empower yourself that way, right? From the outside in. Because there's more ways to empower yourself than saying from the inside out. Well, won't you try to reverse it? Oh, reverse it. Oh, that's that Missy Elliott. Sorry, man. I be going into these music zones sometimes, brother. You got to watch out for me.
That's good, man. Hey, can we go back to the hackathon real quick?
Yeah.
What? Because there's going to be people who have these opportunities to do pitches. Because in that, you got the opportunity to pitch.
Right.
What you wanted to see from your image consulting. What are some tips that you would share on doing a pitch to someone about your business where you're wanting them to either invest or in some way add value to help your business grow?
First thing I would say, get you a 30 second elevator pitch that tells everything about you and your mission. Like what your impact is. Get a business plan down. No matter if you think it's not right, like at least get one down and have somebody revise it. Like understand what these goals that you need to structure for yourself. Two, put your presentation together, you know, so you can have it ready and prepared. So, cause you never know when opportunities may present themselves. And that's the thing that I've learned through everything I've done, being creative. Just like have something prepared. So when people ask for it, you can be like, here you go. Like that, like after the conversation, all right, man, I'll email you. And as soon as you walk out the door, they got the email.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Right. So it's that whole saying, be ready so you ain't got to get ready. Right. So I would say that. I would also say, you know, fine-tune communication skills, being able to effectively and efficiently communicate your vision. Some people may think, oh, well, he talks proper and he speak quite elegantly. And I'm like, listen, like, it's a part of it. Like, you have, like, if you want to elevate yourself, you have to, not only just in the sense of propelling yourself in an economic standpoint or a lifestyle standpoint, like even intelligent wise or just personal development, like you have to get out of a comfort zone of what you used to. Now, and why I say this is because I can go have a conversation with a president, CEO, or a mayor, sit down, have dinner, right? But then at the same time, I can go to the east side and kick it, you know?
Yeah. And be on the block hanging out, huh?
Yeah. Or I can go to the south side of Oklahoma City where it's, you know, Little Mexico, they call it. Like, I can go hang out with the Vatos, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's being able to be culturally diverse, right? In this world, you got to be a chameleon, but within being a chameleon, you're still yourself. Mm-hmm. Because a chameleon can change colors, but what? It's still a chameleon.
It's still a chameleon, yeah, that's right.
Right? It's still the animal. It's still what it is, right? The foundation of it, what it was born to be, but it's able to blend in to all environments. And that's where you have to be in this world. You have to understand different cultures, man. That's how the world becomes a better place, right? So if you can relate to people's like cultural backgrounds and traditions, it makes you more versatile. It opens the door for opportunities. And that's what I would tell people. Like, that's the thing you should focus on is how to be more diverse instead of just being stuck in this one hole of like, this is it and this is where I'm from and this is where I gotta stay. I don't want to sell out to like who I really am. Well, who are you really? Are you what society told you you are? Or are you, you know, the person who loves to explore?
Yeah, yeah. That's good, man. So talking about your elevator pitch, we called it, I did this thing called Stitch Crew, the Thunder Launch Pad. The Thunder sponsored this thing to where they bring entrepreneurs in. We spend so many months together, and then you get to do your pitch. We call it our Twitter pitch. So, okay. You know, the elevator pitch, Twitter pitch. Share your elevator pitch and then tell people how they can reach you.
All right. So my name is Gregory Jerome, the owner of Gregory Jerome Image Consulting, where we aim to transform lives one style at a time. We like to educate, uplift, empower our clients. We allow them to understand their internal and external benefits of image. We also educate them on the emotional, behavioral, perceptual, and also the cognitive factors of image.
Gotcha. Okay. How can people find you?
People can find me on all social media platforms. Gregory Jerome, website, thegregoryjerome.com.
Man, you get all Gregory Jeromes on
everything.
Man, that's pretty cool to find your name. I was sure Hedy Coleman, I could get Hedy Coleman on everything, man.
Good, man. You can even Google me, bro.
Man, I appreciate you sharing your story, man. This is powerful, man. Continue to empower people by providing them great consulting work on their image. And man, I look forward to seeing you continue to do wonderful things out there, bro.
Appreciate it, man. Listen, it was an honor, man, to be on this platform with you, brother. Thank you for having me here. You know, peace and blessings to you and the family. And on every endeavor that you're doing, man, send me a pair of them red socks or maybe a hoodie so I can rock it for you. I'm just saying, I can help you market your product.
That's legit. What size are you? What size are you?
I'm an XL, man. I'm an XL. That's on the hoodies. But, you know, 9 to 12 on the socks.
That's sock size. You know, people don't, you know, you're an image consultant. You giving out your sock size. I ain't never had anybody tell me the sock size. Now, man, my sock size, brother. My sock size.
Sock size.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, once again, thank you for hitting that play button for another episode of the Hedy Coleman Podcast. And as always, ladies and gentlemen, as always, go win.